Well, good morning. I'm Al Brzezinas, and to be honest, I was a little bit surprised when asked, but decided to embrace this opportunity to share with you my personal beliefs and perspectives this morning. If you had met me 10 years ago and asked me to give this talk, I probably would have been able to summarize my beliefs in a fairly straightforward manner, and they would have been different in some significant ways from where I am now. So today I will share with you what has been a journey of personal evolution in my beliefs. Many things I strongly believe in have not changed so much over the years. The area where a lot of personal evolution has taken place is in trying to reconcile them with a belief in God, and essentially reprogramming myself to think differently about certain truths imparted to me by my parents and the culture in which I grew up. The most constant aspect of my life is that I've always been a scientist and an experimentalist. I believe in the power of the scientific method in offering a testable framework for understanding how the physical world works and for predicting future outcomes based on your current conditions and what you might do in the future. I've been working in chemical research for 45 years, and this has offered me many opportunities to create and shape new materials via theoretical and experimental science. The chemical sciences have also enabled the revolutionary findings in evolutionary biology and genetic sequencing. We now have countless supporting examples for how all the amazing cellular machinery and chemistry of life has evolved over time in a manner consistent with Darwin's theories on natural selection. By examining and dating the fossil record, we can come to appreciate the power of selective pressures on adaptations over very long spans of time. As we celebrate this week the anniversary of Darwin's birth more than 200 years ago, my sense is the challenge that many have to yet accepting that such complexity evolved in the absence of a deliberate designer is simply our human inability to grasp the passage of time over spans of billions of years. Despite my scientific worldview, once I entered my early 30s, I kept getting surprised by the fact that I had a side of me that, for lack of a better word, could be described as spiritual. I realized I had a strong need for more than science to understand what it means to be human and live a full and worthy life. My own experience and reading has taught me that humans have a strong need to live in community. To this end, organized religions have much to offer in terms of providing care in communities of like-minded people, and they inform the ethics and system of justice that underpin our form of government and our system of laws. As Sam also pointed out the other week, science owes its birth and early support from a Christian belief that the universe was orderly and predestined. I believe that fundamentalists who contend that there are no connections between the perspectives in science and religion are being a bit naive. While I was raised in the Roman Catholic faith, my parents were not at all active, so it was fairly easy for me to reject much of that dogma in my teens. When I later recognized my needs for community and opportunities to serve, I became fairly active for 3 decades in the Lutheran Church. I was encouraged in this by my father-in-law, who set a very strong personal example. Of course, this necessitated some accommodation of my scientific worldview with a Bible-based theology that incorporates a personal savior. The Protestant Reformation, of course, enabled and encouraged personal study of the Bible. After my own study, the sparse factual basis for the events in the Bible and the evident human hand by its writers in the Christian church in shaping its content and emphasis made it impossible for me to take the events and quotations literally. So if instead the holy books are to be used primarily as metaphor and instructional examples, then it follows that wisdom accumulated over the thousands of years of human societies should be open to the dialogue, and we should not limit it to the theist societies that were rooted in the Middle East of 2,000 years ago. I am thus appreciative of the UU tradition of embracing the wisdom of all the world's religions. That said, those parts of the older traditions which emphasize the primacy and uniqueness of humanity, while ignoring or diminishing the other creatures that share the planet with us, whether humanist or theist, do not strike me as a defensible or sustainable tradition. We must face the fact that humanity has been remaking the earth and encouraging the extinction of organisms ever since we began to domesticate plants and animals more than 10,000 years ago. I believe this means you must inform the wisdom of older traditions with what has been learned from the scientific method of analysis and prediction. Be fruitful and multiply is a dangerous ethic when we now have a human population of more than 7 billion, putting immense pressure on creation. Believing God is in control flies in the face of all the evidence that random events are the key to evolution and how life on Earth actually plays out. And it encourages a kick-the-can-down-the-road mentality on problems such as climate change. Truth is, our recent fossil fuel developments are only an intensification of practices we have embraced as human progress ever since humans learned to control fire more than 200,000 years ago. Humanity has evolved and thrived with reliance on combustion. This will make it a very difficult habit to break, but the scientific evidence is telling us we must quickly find some ways. I can remain optimistic, since I believe in the power of humans gathered together in common cause, and that when we are open to each other's thoughts and emotions, we reach places and take actions that we would not come to on our own. I used to regularly engage in prayer. I used to lead congregations in prayer. Over time, I started to pay more attention to what was happening in myself and in the larger groups during times of prayer, and I came to conclude that whatever power we might ascribe to prayer comes not from accessing a supernatural being or a personal savior, but from our deeper collective unconscious minds. I believe we do humanity a disservice when we look to some godlike supernatural force to sustain us. There is a deep subconscious power within all of us, and is magnified when we gather together and are open to it. So if prayer works for you, I understand. I only suggest that if you try being more mindful during the process, you'll discover where the power is really coming from. So I was glad to discover FUSA 7 years ago, at a time when I had come to realize that creedal theist religions were no longer going to be a place I could call home. The fact that Unitarian Universalism is practiced by less than 1% of the population is, I think, a testament to the difficulty and work involved in evolving this sort of synthesis of belief on your own when your starting point is from one of the more popular creedal religions that assert they already have all the answers. As a chemist, I can appreciate the notion that the UUA tends to view itself as a catalyst for change and growth towards the world we envision. This is the best way to have an impact, given our small numbers. So I will stand with you on the side of love, and in return, I ask you to stand with me on the side of reason. Humanity is endowed and marked with both capacities, and I believe we are at our best when we use them both. Thank you. Now I invite you to rise as you are willing and able to join us in singing our next hymn, number 1064, Blue Boat Home.
Good morning. I'm Jan McCracken. Didn't wear my name tag. Thank you for coming today to the service. I wouldn't want to be doing it without you. Or maybe I would. I don't know. When I was a little girl, about 5 years old, I spent a few nights exploring my relationship with God. What might have prompted me was a television contest that I entered to win a romper room drum. The entry involved completing a checklist of behaviors. It was part of learning how to be a do be, not a don't be. The last thing on the checklist was, I say my prayers every night. This item stumped me, and my parents assured me that it was okay to leave it blank. I think that might be when I decided trying to learn how to pray. I thought about maybe I should try this out. With no instruction, I did my best to figure it out in the quiet of those couple of nights. But the intention soon dissolved. Without support or understanding of this practice, it wasn't so clear whether God was listening. Soon after, I developed a relationship with an imaginary friend, which was much more fun and satisfying than those conversations with God in the dark. I kept these relationships private, probably in part to messages I was getting about the hocus-pocus of certain religions that us rational people didn't fall for. And so grew my skepticism about supernatural power, pearly gates, and a masculine God. So, by the way, I did win the drum. I didn't have any guilt or shame. And since then, I have figured out how to pray. So I wasn't handed a package of beliefs, but I was given a lot of possibilities to consider. Growing up a Unitarian, the exploration of truth and meaning was an inspiring subject for interpretation and critique. The intellect was more welcome at our family dinner table than the spirit, and it was served with respect and concern for humanity. Exposure to rational humanist thinking had its benefits. My beliefs were shaped by a value system that consistently supported liberal causes, social change, respect for the planet, a meaningful vocation, compassion, and service. I grew up under the influence of wonderful humanitarian role models who didn't talk much about God, but demonstrated a beautiful reverence for life. Soul searching and addressing the ultimate questions were valid entertainment, but I lacked focus and perseverance. I proclaimed myself an atheist for a short time as a teenager, but dropped that label when realizing I wasn't really being true to myself. Spirituality was a loosely defined concept that I leaned into, but not with complete acceptance or clarity about its distinction from religion. God was hugely problematic. I imagined being ostracized if I took a firm stand on the side of God. And at times, I did the ostracizing. The tasks of life kept me busy, as did its endless problems, making it impossible to quiet my mind long enough to find deep peace or real presence. Plus, I had no clue how to quiet my mind or why I would want to give up my precious time to do that. So fast forward to today. The intention to live as a spiritual being has become my way of life. The practice is simple in theory. Live with an open heart, find, loosen, and let go of the constraints, and connect with others. Go slow and repeat. Doing this, I experience emotions as moving energy, thoughts as fleeting information, and appreciation for my physical body that is making it possible for me to be in this world. I love communing with the sensation of energy in and around me. This awareness strengthens me to the core, helping with my mind-body connection. Perhaps spirit is in the energy. Whatever it is, it moves me. My experience with this life force, this energetic essence, has added lost pieces to my spiritual puzzle. Maybe someday science will catch up to explain this ancient wisdom. I'm not convinced that something isn't real just because it can't be seen or proven. How can you see or prove my experience? So in my 50s, I was inspired by a rather loud wake-up call that said, change or die. And while some changes were behavioral, the call for transformation was far deeper. It was time to unfreeze the emotional blocks that clogged my inner works for so long, to face what was holding me back, and engage in a healing process, because focusing on everyone else was no longer a viable option. That's when I started to meditate, which has helped me to keep this little light of mine lit. So meeting and greeting my demons and disturbances has been complicated, but ultimately makes my life more simple and certainly more joyful as I practice ways to let them go, and indeed as I learn that I have the power to let them go. I highly recommend taking off your protective gear and getting naked. It's the only way I know to experience being free without all the weight of shame, blame, doubt, guilt, fear, etc. Worry, that's in there too. This investigation has become a game of curiosity for me. Who are these demons? Who's left in there? Who's coming back? Many have appeared in the form of alienating beliefs. I am not good enough. I am invisible. I am not smart. People are idiots. How do I meet and greet these demons? At the door with compassionate presence. The essence of presence is finding that place where my mind is not running the show. I practice conscious awareness. In his book, The Untethered Soul, Michael Singer refers to two parts of our inner being, the one that watches and the part that never shuts up. He claims that if even for a moment you can get rid of that noisy part, you'll have the nicest vacation ever. I'm working on taking a long vacation. Mindfulness helps me tap into this compassionate presence that I don't really think belongs to me, but to which I have access. You might think of it as fearlessness. It's frustrating to wrap words around because it's such a unique and personal experience. UU Minister Doug Taylor refers to this deep commitment to individual experience as one of the chief organizing concepts of our faith. I want to sustain this unique relationship with my true nature. As reflected in the words of our next song, I keep returning to the home of my soul. My spirituality gives me energy and patience to bear witness to such a complicated world and find ways to use my gifts. My friendships are thriving. I'm making contributions. I am finding my purpose to be supporting myself and others in the fallout of this human condition. I want to support this spiritual evolution that we need to pick up with some speed if we're going to save this planet. I'll end by highlighting just a few of the practices that I do to feed my spirit and motivate myself toward action. I think you get it now. I meditate, and I move, and I breathe. I practice nonviolent communication, and that requires intention, presence, and focus. In addition to the study of nonviolent communication, I frequently practice with others. I have a very strong belief in the healing power of empathy, and I dream about a world where it becomes the default. I also get nurtured in nature, one of the easiest places for me to find the spirit of presence. My dog supports me in this practice. I love my dog, and she is a great role model for living in the moment. So I am an active participant in my own spiritual growth and development. It goes far beyond attending church service on Sunday. I dedicate a lot of resource to it. I buy inspirational books. I go to trainings and retreats. I participate in Wellspring. I even employ spiritual guides. I gravitate to people and communities who hunger for wholeness. And where do all these contemplative arts get me? With peace in my heart, I can make peace where I go, choosing words and deeds that cause no harm and support life. Each day is a celebration, in darkness or light. I was blessed with the happy gene. I am blessed by the love and care of others, and I feel guided by loving presence. I will always wonder about my good fortune and never stop being grateful. So, knowing how we Unitarian Universalists love the questions more than the answers, I'd like to end with a question to you on the basis of my remarks. Do you think I believe in God?
Hi, I'm John Sherman, and I also thank you for coming and hearing our thoughts. I title my thoughts, The Answer to the Ultimate Question of Life, the Universe, and Everything. I agree with Douglas Adams, the author of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, both that the process of seeking the answer to the ultimate question is driven by our human needs and that if we are not very, very careful, we are likely to find an answer that is both wrong and useless. 42 has never really seemed like something I could live with. I can't help but look for the answer to the ultimate question, because this is how I find meaning in my life. Knowing that I'm likely to get it wrong and that there are multiple answers helps me maintain perspective and my sense of humor about the process and life in general. When I began wrestling with the concepts of God and faith as a teen, I was unaware that there was any choice other than the biblical God. Since coming to the Unitarian Universalist Church in the late 1970s, I've sought that answer, and my personal beliefs have been nurtured and grown. I've had the opportunity to explore the tensions between various religions that believe in God and people who are adamant that God doesn't exist and would dispute that this is even a religion. I've made peace, and I've found common ground in Christianity, paganism, atheism, science, and philosophy. I now believe that God, as I define God, exists. One of my philosophy professors made the point that that which is real always trumps that which is unreal. I cast my lot with people like Pete Seeger and other deists like Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Mark Twain, whose conviction that God exists was based on close examination of the natural world rather than scripture or prophets. When it comes to beliefs, I look first to what I know is real and try to avoid beliefs that are at odds with reality. The Bible, other religious stories, and literature remain holy, instructive. They contain great wisdom, undeniably, but they don't take precedence over reality. My belief in God begins with my awareness that Earth and the rest of the vast universe are far greater and more significant than me or you. In addition to being big beyond all imagining and populated by billions of galaxies, which are themselves composed of billions of stars, the universe is simply beyond our present capacity to understand. Even the scientists are baffled by most of it. Even here on Earth, we are all constrained by gravity, and yet we can't identify how gravity is transmitted. While I'd love to have a personal God who loves and protects us, I part company with many theists at the point where their descriptions of God ignore the whole implausible, absurd, unfair. I don't know why I'm tearing up here, but... and awesome reality. My examination of all that we know from science and life convinces me not to put my faith in the idea of a God who possesses human characteristics or is measured or understood using human benchmarks. I consider life to be a great gift, but I'm discouraged from believing that God is walking alongside or looking after us. All of the trouble and grief that gets visited directly on most of us for no perceptible cause or without any human involvement argues against that loving, protective, personal God. If the biblical God is responsible for things like cancer in children or Ebola, he's got a lot of explaining to do. And that God isn't talking to me, and I've not heard a plausible explanation elsewhere. The routine success of people who mistreat other people also discourages me from believing that God is rewarding people based on their merit or devotion. I think there is some truth to the notion that the biblical God was merely the result of people creating God in their own image, reducing God until God was hardly more than a little man behind the curtain. You have to admit the possibility of a little male wish fulfillment in the biblical gods, supposedly making God in, or man in his image, giving man dominion over the earth, and best of all, creating women from men. I believe that God neither demands that we worship and express gratitude to him, nor responds to our prayers, worship, and gratitude. It would be egotistical and pathetic if the God of all creation actually needed, looked for, or even cared about human affirmation or adoration. Nevertheless, I pray, worship, and I'm grateful. This reality that we are a part of is so fantastic that I can't help but be personally humbled and grateful to be part and to have this short opportunity to do something. I part company with some of my atheist friends, however, when atheism merely rejects theism and becomes an excuse not to seek the answer to the ultimate question. As the late Mario Cuomo noted, any jackass can kick a barn down. Mocking or feeling superior to people who believe in God is not an answer to the ultimate question. And of course, criticizing atheists gets me no closer to the meaning of life either. So what is my answer to the ultimate question? I admit that I continue to grieve over my removal of that loving and protective God from the firmament. As I look about me at all the wonderful things in the world, I find people, boy, I don't know why it is I'm choking up here, but yeah, there you have it. What's that? Yep. And he's probably weeping still, too. Lord knows we give him plenty of cause for that. But anyway, I've in addition to the terrible things that we do, I see people loving each other, taking care of each other. I see communities like this one where people come together and do good. And I think that there is meaning and wisdom in the Bible stories of people doing good. I believe when we do good to one another, we truly are instruments of God. I also believe that for the foreseeable future, people will not explore the vast universe, much less colonize it. What we have here on Earth is all that humans have to work with. I believe that our primitive ancestors had it right. The Earth is not simply our home. It's our life support system. It's holy. It's worthy of being treated with love and respect. I do not believe that humans have dominion over the Earth, but when I contemplate all of the ways that people threaten the environment, we're clearly messing things up. If ever there was a time for that biblical God to come down and kick ass, this would be it. But it's not going to happen. We need to stop ourselves. Humankind's greatest successes have always been the result of our responding to crisis by working together for the greater good. I am hopeful that we will use the lessons that we've learned in our church to work together with others, to change ourselves, to make this a better world for all of us.